Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, la-di frickin' da!
Bob McGilligan.
And there's a backhanded shot as the Devils take it, but I've got two words for you. Playoff bound. That's what the Blue Jackets are with this 4-1 victory today over the New Jersey Devils.
We're still chasing something. We want to be top of the league. And, that's been a goal of ours, I guess, all year. But it really came into the forecast as of late. So we're just going to keep on working hard. I know we got some big games against Wash and Pittsburgh. And, the more wins, the better. And if we can get home ice throughout all the playoffs, it'd be huge.
Hey, that's what it's all about. It's a moment frozen there in time when the reasons all begin to rhyme. Well, love's a little bigger and you finally start figuring out. That's what it's all about.
What a difference a year makes is the comment that a lot of people make. And I think just, not to reflect too much because we're in it right now, but just that I'm proud of the guys and the way they've handled themselves this year. The challenge that we got in the offseason, and I think it's just carried on and given us a focus and a game plan all year long that we've stuck to. And credit to Torts and credit to the older guys in here that have pulled the younger guys along and the younger guys that have given us energy. So it's all good things, but we know there's lots more to do, and I think that's what you see in this room. We're excited just about the opportunity we've given ourselves, but we know we got to go out there and push even harder to get the results that we want.
That's Blue Jackets captain Nick Foligno. Before that, you heard from Matt Calvert, and what a day it was yesterday to finally seal the deal and punch a ticket to the postseason. The Blue Jackets doing that with a 4-1 win over the New Jersey Devils. They went on the road for two games, two afternoon games, by the way, in New York, and they come out with 4 points, and they come out knowing that they are going to the postseason. Now, they've known that since Christmas. I get it. I understand. We've all known it, but it's when they officially put that X next to your city's name in the standings. That's when you know it's for certain. And that's when everybody is now allowed to start talking about it. And what I mean is when John Tortorella will talk about it, when the players will talk about it, they've known it and they've kind of alluded to it. But now we can have actual conversations about what's going to happen once these last 11 regular season games are over. Welcome to CBJ in 30. It's a Monday mailbag edition. I've got plenty of questions from you that I will get to in just a moment. But did you hear what I just said? 11 games remaining. This team is clinched with 11 games left on the schedule. This team has hit the century mark in points. And who'd have thunk it? As Nick Foligno just said, what a difference a year makes. And boy, doesn't it ever. We were driving, we were riding on the bus coming back from Brooklyn on Saturday afternoon, and it was on the media bus. So Jeff Rimmer, Jody Shelley, and I, and all of the crew from Fox Sports Ohio that travels along with us. We were on the bus, and we were going back to the hotel after the overtime win against the Islanders and joking and laughing. And I said, remember where we were last year when we were just saying, how many more weeks of this junk do we have to put up with? And even though the team was playing well then, you weren't going anywhere. You weren't going to the playoffs. You were literally counting down the days until you would get free time and you could do whatever you wanted to with your own life, because there was no life after the final game on the schedule. And it was disappointing. It was more than disappointing. It was depressing, especially when you start playing better at the end, because then you know that, yeah, there was talent here and they just squandered the opportunity that they had. But man, this year, now you're saying, when do you get the 11 regular season games over so we can get to the good stuff, right? When do we get to the good stuff? Well, just enjoy the ride the rest of the way there, because, oh, it's going to be a ride. Nothing is decided. This is the amazing thing to me. Washington, 100 points. Columbus, 100 points. Pittsburgh, 99 points. The Rangers have dropped out of it. The Rangers are going to roll the dice and cross over to the Atlantic Division. They're not getting out of that wild card spot. No way. That'd be crazy too, actually, because I don't think that they're as good as the three teams I just mentioned. So they're better off to cross over and let everybody else beat up on each other and maybe – come out of that other division and be in the Eastern Conference final against who's ever left, who's ever beaten and battered and bruised from the first two rounds in the Metropolitan Division. That's a smart move by them. Now, for the Blue Jackets, you know, a lot of people, as we did this, what, 2 weeks ago on a mailbag, people were asking me about going that route. And, you know, would it behoove you to go into a wild card spot? The heck with that wild card spot. And I'm really glad that the players are saying the things that they're saying right now. They don't want a wild card spot. They want the top spot. They want Washington's spot. They talk about President's Trophy. I'll get to that in the questions, but they want the top spot in the division. They want the home ice in the playoffs throughout the division, and if it or throughout the conference. And if it happens that they wind up with the playoffs in the Stanley Cup Final too, that would be okay with everyone. But man, what a ride it's been! It's just been so fun, and I was so glad to see those guys do what they did yesterday. I'm telling you, the confidence was, this is over today. We are getting in today. When I interviewed Seth Jones before the game yesterday afternoon, that's the sense that I got. Well, he didn't say it, we're going to win today. You'd never say that. But his attitude, his confidence, when I said, how would you like to finish this today? Yeah. Well, of course, you know, dumb question, right? Of course they want to. Will they? Yes, they did. And they just had, there's an air around them again. I guess swagger is the word. I'm not a big swagger guy. I don't care for that word so much. But I guess that's the one I'm going to have to use, because they're not cocky, but they are confident. And they are walking with a sense of purpose. I just mean everything they're doing with a sense of purpose. They have completely transformed since that 5-day break. And they are, I have been impressed. I have been really impressed with the way that they've handled themselves individually and as a team. Because I told you during the break, what did I say? These guys, they think they can just flip a switch. They're not the Penguins. They're not the Blackhawks. They're not the Sharks. Go back and listen to it. I said it. I'll admit I said it. I was extremely concerned. Really, really concerned. Well, they knew more than I know, obviously. Because since that break, they have been not only businesslike, they have just been motoring through everybody. I don't even know how to describe it. Just they're businesslike. They're very certain in their own abilities and what they can do. It's just been fun. It has been fun, and I, like you, hope that it's fun for another 2.5 months, because that would be, that would be awesome. I would gladly take a short summer, as would you. I know it. Gladly would take a short summer to watch this team do the things that they're doing. And here's the deal, for real. They believe they can do it. They believe they can do it. So until somebody changes their beliefs by knocking them off, they believe they can do it. And that is steps 1, 2, and 3. All right, let me get to your questions through Twitter at Bobby Mack Sports. And again, I've had a ton of them tweeted to me. So if I don't get to yours, don't be offended, because there's just a lot. And I'll probably, you know, repeat some of these things as far as the subjects. So just bear with me. And here we go. Jeremy Hayes leads it off. What path and matchups do you see getting us to the final? Well, the best path is just to finish at the top. And then take that second wild card team and see where you go from there. Now, if that second wild card team happens to be Tampa, that could be a problem, because they will be red hot. They will get Steven Stamkos back. However, I think if you can do that and then take who's ever left between Pittsburgh and Washington, which would probably be Pittsburgh, then, which would be great, I think, then you could get yourself to the conference final and go for that. The best path is to finish on top. Just win the whole thing. Just win the division, and then go from there. Noah Weiss wants to know, who's taking the last wild card spot? I'm really starting to think Toronto's going to get that spot. I'm really starting to think that. Islanders are shooting themselves in the foot right now. Tampa was red hot, and they've stumbled a little bit. They could still get in, don't get me wrong, but the Toronto Maple Leafs, watch, just be careful with that youth movement there and the fact that those guys believe that they can be in the playoffs. and we'll see them here on Wednesday night. But don't discount the fact that the youngsters in this league, you know, they're, look what's happening with the Blue Jackets. You think Werenski doesn't believe they can win the Stanley Cup? He does. So does Lucas Sedlak. So does Josh Anderson. So does Oliver Bjorkstrand. So does Seth Jones. All these guys, they're bought in. They think they can do it. And the Leafs are a young team. What do they have to lose? They're just young and having fun, right? No expectations on them. They blew the thing up last year. They purposely finished last to get Austin Matthews. What pressure is there when you finish last? Do you have to be in the playoffs the very next year? Even in Toronto? No, you don't. So they are playing with house money. There's nothing to lose for them. They've already achieved more than a lot of their fans thought they would achieve this year. So don't count them out. Do not count them out. And I would love to go to Toronto for a first-round series. Not to go to Toronto, to have the home ice, but to play against Toronto, because I think I like the Blue Jackets in that matchup. So that's why I say that. Jason R. says, did you agree with the challenge yesterday? And this is a challenge on the only goal the Devils scored, Adam Henrique. And there are pictures of the puck was inside the blue line while Pavel Zacha's left foot was inside the line. His right foot was up in the air. The league said that he toe-tapped, basically. He got the skate down on the blue line, and that's why it was not offside. Anyway, Jason says, to me, he was off, but by getting his trail foot down, tagged up and then onside before playing it. And yeah, that's what the league said. And I don't have as much of a problem with that as other people do, to be honest with you. There were a lot of people that were upset with that. We talked about it on the way to the plane yesterday. And I thought he got his foot down. So the rule is weird. Okay. They keep on saying they've got to change the rule. Fine. Change the rule. That's fine. Do whatever you want to change the rule. But, you know, for now, the way it is, I thought it was, I thought they made the right call. Hockey girl loves hockey. Do you think the Blue Jackets team will run deep into the playoffs? I'm thinking yes. That's hockey girl's words. I'm thinking yes. I think they have the potential to do that, obviously. But you don't buy groceries on potential. You know what I mean? You got to go out and do it. So they have the potential. They have the confidence. They have the belief factor. Can they do it? Yes, they can. Will they do it? That's what we're going to find out when the second season begins here in a couple of weeks. Bruce says, besides the 16-win streak, which record that the Blue Jackets have broken this season would be a while to be broken again in the future? I think it happened yesterday, two penalty shot goals in the same game. It's only the third time in NHL history that that's happened. Third time in NHL history a team has been awarded two penalty shots and has scored on them both in the same game. So I'm going to go with that one. That is not an easy thing to do. And the first time it was done was in 1982 by Vancouver. And they've been awarding penalty shots since the 30s. Can you believe that? It's crazy, isn't it? Next up here, in the Wild are struggling. Sergei Bobrovsky now tops in wins, goals against average, and save percentage among number one goalies. He's third in shutouts. Legit Vezina leader now? I think so, Devin. I didn't even see Devin Dubnyk. This is going to sound like I'm dissing him, and maybe I am, but Sergei's my guy. I watch him every day. I know he deserves to get that award again. You know, Devin Dubnyk, yeah, great numbers, whatever. Can, you know, do it for another month, right? That's really what it was about. At that point, when Dubnyk played against the Blue Jackets here, do it for another month. Everything you've been doing, keep that up for another month. And he has slipped, and his team has slipped. And Sergei has not slipped, and his team has not slipped. So is he a legit Vezina guy? Yeah, absolutely. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win it, to be honest with you. SivRev10 says, Bob Vezina trophy, Werenski Calder trophy. Does Atkinson actually stand a chance to win the MVP? I'm going to say this. This is direct, and it's going to sound harsh, but it's not. The answer is no. He's not. Look, he's got 33 goals, and that's great. Sidney Crosby scored a hat trick yesterday and has 40 goals. Andy Sidney Crosby. Now, you get mad at me if you want to, but Sidney Crosby is the best hockey player in the world right now at this point. Now, there are others that are vying for that title in the future, maybe the near future. I don't know. But he is the best player in the world. He has 40 goals. All right? Cam has had a terrific season. Absolutely terrific. But how could he be the league MVP if he's not even this team MVP? Because who's the team MVP? Now, right away, I would say Sergei Bobrovsky. But let me ask you this. Don't you have to look at Zach Werenski and the way he has transformed the way the Blue Jackets play defense? And it's him and Seth Jones. But if he doesn't come in here, are they the same? No. Not a chance. So if Bobrovsky is your number one choice for MVP, team MVP, that is, Werenski's got to be a 1A. And that A has to be pretty close to being right to the number one. So, you know, again, Cam has had a great year. I love everything that he's done. It's been terrific for him. But if you said to me, who's the MVP of this team, I'm at least going three deep before I get to him. So how could he be the MVP of the entire National Hockey League? And by the way, you forgot an award on here. Because if John Tortorella doesn't get the Jack Adams Award, I will be livid, because he deserves it. He absolutely, positively deserves it to be Coach of the Year, in my opinion. What he's done with his team is he deserves that award, and I hope he gets that award. And Minnesota slipping is another thing there, too, because a lot of people were talking about Bruce Boudreau in that category. But maybe now that'll change a little bit. Who knows? Robbie Warner says, when you pause 10 seconds for station identification, what goes through your mind? What do you do? Paper shuffling, daydreaming, anything? Usually talk to somebody in the booth or talk to my producer down the line. And, you know, usually have some smart aleck thing to say to somebody, which will take me 8.5 seconds. And then I have a second and a half to reset and be ready to go. Keith Vandenbroek says, how much do you push for the President's Trophy while balancing injury risks? Do you rest anyone? Probably at some point, but I don't know if he's going to go out of his way to rest anybody or if he's just going to let them keep playing because they're playing so well. And they had that break. The 5-day break came at such a time that I don't know that he needs to give anybody that big of a rest. Maybe Bobrovsky. Maybe he takes him out of a game or two that he would have played. But I don't know if he's going to tinker that much with it as far as giving people a rest. Yesterday he said he's just looking to put the 12 best players up front and the 6 best players on defense and the best goaltender in the game. So based on that conversation, he's not looking to rest anybody. Robert Mill, does a playoff team lacking a superstar forward negatively impact team success? No, not at all. Because here's what the thing is about this team. You don't look to any one person to bail you out. Well, maybe Bobrovsky, but it's not like, if you're Pittsburgh and you're down by a goal and Sidney Crosby's on the ice, I think you're automatically waiting for him and expecting him to score it. Or if Malkin's out there too, now you've got a choice. Now, which guy am I expecting to do it? But maybe you're not expecting yourself to do it. You're expecting one of them to do it. On this Blue Jackets team, they're not expecting anything from anybody but themselves. And that's why their balance works out so well. I think this team is tighter because it doesn't have a superstar. I think it plays better because it is a shared effort night in and night out. I really do. I think that's maybe one of the biggest strengths of this team is its lack of a perceived superstar player, to be honest. Justin Needham says, are the other teams in the Metro Division looking at the Blue Jackets and saying we do not want to face them in the first round? They probably are, because when it's your team, you're worried about everybody else. You always see the blemishes on your own team, and you will always put down your own team first. It's true. I swear to you, it's true. I remember early in the year, people were saying, you guys are the best team we've faced so far. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, we're only in late November. Who have you faced? Give me a break. And they were right, because you see all of the mistakes that your team makes every night. The other teams, you only see them, you know, once in a while, the mistakes that they make. So you're always harder on your own team than you are on the other teams. You always think everybody else is better than you. I really think that that's the truth. Even as a coach, you're going, oh, man, we don't want to play them. That's going to be bad news. So, yes, I'm sure, Justin, that that is going on. I'm very sure that that is going on. Oh, my buddy Bunk Tuzzi has checked in today. Of course, he's good friends with Ryan Johansson, so he follows the Predators much more closely now than he does the Blue Jackets. But he says, see y'all in the final? Hey, that would be great. What a great matchup that would be to finish it all off. And then and decide who got the best deal in the trade, right? That's how you could really decide it, head-to-head for the Stanley Cup final. Justin Young says, what will be a bust and what will be a win for the Jackets in the postseason, considering last year? Well, considering last year, a win is being in the playoffs. A win is having 100 points. So that's already been accomplished. But I think this team is to the point where, because of what they are, because of what they've done, this year, and the accomplishments that they've made, I think it would be a bust not to win at least one round. And they have their sights set on winning much more than that. But if you got in and fell short in the first round, I think that would be heartbreaking based on the season that they have had. So we'll see what happens. Listen, it's the toughest thing in pro sports, in my opinion, to win the Stanley Cup. You play an 82-game schedule. When you get done with that, you have to win 16 more games in order to hoist the Stanley Cup. 16 games in four seven-game series. So if you were to play seven games in every round, then that would mean you would have to play 28 more games, go 16-12, to win the Stanley Cup over the course of 2 months. Come on. It's ridiculous. It is the hardest championship to achieve. So, you know, and two, the way this playoff format is, a really good team is going to be bounced after the first round. The only question is, what team is that going to be? Kelly K, do you think we have the experience, leadership, and talent needed to make a deep run in the playoffs? I don't know about the experience, because even the older guys that are here, their playoff experience is not, well, Scott Hartnell went to the Stanley Cup final in Philadelphia. So he's got that. You know, Dubinsky, he was talking yesterday about playing in seven-game series, but it's only a couple of guys. So the experience factor is not going to be as high as it is on other teams. The leadership factor I like a lot. I really do like a lot. I think this leadership group has taken over and done everything John Tortorella was begging them to do last year. Talent? Is the talent that is needed there? Absolutely. Yes, it is. And as I was just saying before, now you find out what they can do with it. Jason Wilson says, do playoff beards start now or on April 12th? April 12th. That's when they begin. When the playoffs start, that's when your beard starts. Andrew says, is there anything to the claims about Andy faking an injury to allow Doobie to take that second penalty shot? Is it a conspiracy or a non-story? Okay, so what happens is Josh Anderson has the breakaway. He gets hauled down. He slides into the goalpost. He hurts his leg, and he can't. He wasn't well enough to take the penalty shot. I know he came back and he played later in the game, but he jammed his thigh or his knee or something, or hurt his ankle. Whatever he did, he was not skating fluidly when he got back up. So I'm glad that he did the right thing and said, I can't take the shot, because you don't want him coming in there, you know, hobbling and not being at 100%. You want a chance to open it up. It was a 2-1 game at that point in time. So do I think he was faking it? No, absolutely not. Especially since seeing Sedlak scoring a penalty shot earlier in the game. Well, if Lucas gets a chance, how about I get a chance? I'm sure he wanted to take it, but he knew that he couldn't take it because he was hurt. And there's no guarantees with Dubinsky anyway. I mean, there's no guarantees with any of those guys. When Torts tried to put Sam Gagne out there before he was told it had to be a player that was on the ice, when he tried to put Gagne out there, now that's taking it to a different level, because now you're trying to get your sniper out there, and you know, that's something completely different. So I don't think it really – he wasn't faking it to allow Brandon Dubinsky to take it. He was hurt, and he was hobbled, and he came back fine later, but at that point in time, the best choice was for him not to take that shot. And he didn't, and Doobie did, and the rest is history. Randall Martin, M-A-R-T-O-N. Does the fact that Torts challenged offsides make the fact that Bob was interfered with null or just a non-call? Okay, so to go back to that offside play, the Adam Henrique goal, there was a collision between Henrique and Sergei Bobrovsky before the puck went into the net. But what would have happened on that one, if they would have challenged that part of it, they would have said that the defenseman pushed the forward into the goaltender, because that did happen. And once that happens, if your guy pushes their guy into you as a goalie, from the goalie's perspective, if your defenseman pushes their forward into you, then it's not considered goaltender interference. So the offside was the only way that they had to go with that one, Randall. They had one thing they could challenge. They thought they had the right thing, and unfortunately, they got overturned. Nate Orsini, explain the tiebreakers regarding the playoff seeding and how much they suck. Okay, well, I'll give you this. I don't understand. You happen to play the Capitals 5 times this year. So if it's an odd number of games, for some reason they eliminate the first game of the series. I don't get this. I didn't even know this until it just happened. So that game the Blue Jackets won, but it doesn't count. They nullify it. So in the other games, there's a Blue Jackets overtime loss and a regulation loss. So by that factoring, the Blue Jackets have just the, 1 point, and the Capitals have 4, and that's why they're ahead of the Blue Jackets. I think it's stupid. I think it's absolutely stupid. It makes no sense, dumb, ridiculous, whatever word you want, but this is what I know. Nate, this is what I know. There are 2 games remaining head-to-head between the Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals, one on Thursday in Washington, and the other one, whatever day, at Nationwide Arena. Okay? Win those 2 games, and none of this crap matters. That's all. Take care of your own business. Win those games. Dustin Gosa, does the rest of the league take us seriously yet? If not, do you think that's an advantage? If so, can we handle the pressure? Yeah, I think everybody. When you have 100 points and you're the second team to clinch, I think you have to be taken seriously. And I do think that the league is taking the Blue Jackets seriously. And I do think they can handle the pressure. That's what they're showing. They're showing that they can handle it. They're showing they can stand up to it. I think that game in Washington is going to be telltale, because the last time they were there, they lost 5-0, and their 16-game winning streak came to an end. And the Capitals were arrogant about it. They were arrogant about it. Before the game, they were arrogant about it. At Burakovsky was, saying we're going to have fun ending that streak tonight. And that's fine. That's sports, okay? A little bit of trash talk, and I don't have a problem with it. But they were, they were very matter of fact, and I'm sure they'll be the same way on Thursday, no matter what the points look like going into the game. So that's when we'll really find out. I guess maybe that's really the answer. How they play against the Caps and the Penguins in the 3 games remaining between the 2 teams, between now and the end of the season, that's where we're going to find out how they handle the pressure. Because it is pressure. There's no doubt. But I think they're going to handle it fine. Austin Schlosser. Torts says he doesn't win this trophy. Do you think there's any truth to that, or is that just Torts being Torts? No, that's true. That's absolutely true. He doesn't care about it because he's still trying to go on this day-by-day game-focused thing. And why wouldn't you? It has worked. It has continued to work all season long. So don't get away from what has been working now at this point. That's why he's not going to change. Now, he knows if his team wins the President's Trophy, they've got home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. He knows what the pluses are to getting that. But there's no way he's going to change what he's been doing all year now with 2 weeks left in the season, because it fits a different narrative. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. He is stuck in his ways, and thank God he's stuck in his ways, because that's exactly what this team needs. John Lynch says, does the playoff format go away after this year when 2 to 3 of the best teams in the NHL are necessarily eliminated after the first 2 rounds? I don't know. I thought they might talk about that at the GM meetings, but they didn't. That'll be a discussion, I'm sure, that'll be had. It'll be a good talking point amongst fans and media in the league, but I don't know if they'll go to change it. They keep on saying that they want to create rivalries. Now, you think it wouldn't be a rivalry? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If it's Blue Jackets-Penguins first round, and you knock the Penguins out, they finish. Let's just say they finish the season 1 point behind you. You have home ice, and you knock them out. Let's just say, for good measure, you knock them out on their ice, in their building. You think that wouldn't strengthen a rivalry between the two teams? Oh, but it would. And that's what they say they're trying to do. So, because of that, I don't know how much the league is going to talk about it. You and I will talk about it a lot, but I don't know how much they'll talk about it. Harley Rickman, do you feel like this team can make a run for not only the President's Trophy, but the Stanley Cup? Yes, and yes, absolutely. Shane, have you or Jeff Rimmer ever been too sick to call a game? If so, what's the replacement protocol? We don't talk about the replacement protocol. I have no idea what it is. I don't care. I don't intend on ever using it because, no, I haven't missed. And I'll tell you this, true story, there was one baseball game I did, AAA game, and it was on TV too, and I literally went in and threw up before the pregame because I wasn't feeling good at all. I was not feeling good all day. Went in, threw up during the pregame, and came back and did the game. Got through it. That's what we do. That's our job. We just show up, and we do it. And here's the other thing. Nobody wants to be Wally Pipp. Nobody wants to be Wally Pipp. And if you're not familiar with that reference, Wally Pipp played for the New York Yankees, and one day he couldn't play, and Lou Gehrig stepped in and took his place. Lou Gehrig then went on to play in 2,632 consecutive games. You know what that means? Wally Pipp was never heard from again. So nobody wants to be Wally Pipped. You fight through it, and you find a way. And some days it's not pretty. Oh, in Buffalo last week, I could hardly talk. It was terrible. But you find a way. You get through it. Joshua Taylor wants to know, do you come up with goal calls ahead of time, or do such things like flapjacks on a Ferris wheel just come out in the moment? I've got a list. I don't necessarily know what I'm going to use, so I don't have it picked prior to the goal, really. But if I, and sometimes I have the list out, and other times I just pick one off the list in my head, so it's not, there's not really a lot of science to it, believe it or not. I know you should believe it, but Joshua, not a lot of, you probably put more thought into it by writing the question than I do when I'm using the calls, so kudos to you. Good job. The Biscuit Podcast says, it's okay to be happy about clinching a playoff spot, isn't it? Twitter is telling me otherwise. Well, then, if Twitter's telling you it's not good to be happy about it, then you know that it is good to be happy about it. You should be ecstatic about it, because I can imagine what that means. I can imagine people, you know, and you know, there'll be people, fans of other teams, act like you've been there before, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Doesn't matter. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it yourself. Hey, here's the other thing. There are a lot of new fans here. There are a lot of new fans that I'm talking to right now, and I know that. I know that because you send me messages. And I know that you're learning right along with it. And maybe this is the first time since you've started to follow this team that it's been in the playoffs. Maybe you're really spoiled and you just started following them this year and you think every year is going to be like this. No, it's not. No, it's not. I hope a lot of them are, but not every year is going to be like this. So if somebody tells you something negative on Twitter, that means that you're doing the right thing. That's the way I always look at it. That, because I get told a lot on Twitter, I'm not doing the right thing, and I just don't care. I'm doing my thing, man. I'm doing my thing. And if it's not good enough for you, then go bother somebody else. And here's another thing you can do on Twitter, especially. When you get those comments, bring up their profile and see how many followers they have. Because I will bet you 9 out of 10 times they have 10 or less followers. The people that just say the nastiest and rudest things. No followers. No surprise. All right, let's move on to my next tweet. Maybe I'll have one right here. Davis J. Wolf says, is that the first game in a while, other than the Montreal 1-0 overtime loss, that none of either of the team's goals have been at even strength? Yeah, I guess it has been, Davis. I didn't think about it, but yeah. Yep. The game yesterday in New Jersey, it was a power play goal for the Devils. Well, no, yeah, power play goal for the Devils, two shorthanded goals, penalty shots, empty net goal. I was debating if I was counting the empty net goal differently, but no, Yes, so yes, you're right. Zachary Kelly says, is the team going to do anything special like playoff beards or mohawks? Something like that. I'm laughing because the team in Syracuse did mohawks the one year they had a really good team. And it was just, it was borderline disgusting, to be honest with you. Some of those mohawks were terrible. There were mohawks and faux hawks. I went with the faux hawk. I did not go with the mohawk. Thank goodness. I was doing games on TV. I mean, I know I've got a face made for radio to begin with, but then to do an actual mohawk and go on TV, like, I was looking to get a job in the National Hockey League someday. You know what I mean? Anyway, I don't know. I would assume beards. I don't think, I haven't heard anything about mohawks, and I don't think that that would go over well with some of those guys in there, quite frankly. Nick B, do you think we'll see more of Jonas Korpisalo between the pipes in the last stretch of the regular season? Maybe and maybe not. I mean, they have a plan. They may just stick to their plan. And I think Bobrovsky wants to get in as many games as he can. I think he wants to be on top of his game going into the playoffs. He's not a guy that likes to sit around and rest. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure if we will see him more or not. Pam Frost Gorder says, critical question here. Why does hockey have a goal song? What's the lore surrounding this tradition? I don't know if there's any lore surrounding the tradition. I think one day, you know, somebody played a song after a goal, and then they played it after the next goal, and they played it again. So, I don't, for a long time, it was that Gary Glitter Rock and Roll Part 2 back in the day. And then, and then some things came out about him that the team started to go away from the song. So now everybody's going with their own version of it. So I don't know. I don't think there's any lore. I just think that someday it started, and then somebody went, oh, that was good. And then they did it again, and they did it again. And before you know it, it's a copycat league. So everybody would be doing it. Come on, man. Everybody's doing it. Garrett Wagner, who wins the award for most improved player? Ooh, good one. Good one. Really good one. Oh, my goodness. Maybe Seth Jones. Maybe Seth Jones. I could say Josh Anderson was up here before and he's doing much better now than he did in his other stints. I don't want to go that way. I'll say Seth Jones because of the way he's picked his game up and he's become a leader, a bona fide leader. And I think that John Tortorella is absolutely right when he says that the responsibility of bringing Zach Werenski along the right way is something that Seth Jones has completely embraced. And I am going to go with him. All right. What else do we have here? Tyler Barwick says, what is John Tortorella doing to this team that Todd Richards couldn't figure out? Is it as simple as coaching or something bigger? It is something much bigger than just coaching. It is changing the culture. And that was talked about by many coaches since I've been here in the last 8 years. Changing the culture. We've got to change the culture. There's a culture of losing. People are too relaxed, and there's not enough focus and intensity on winning. There is now, and that's the guy that put it there. That's the guy. He's changed the culture. When he came in and sat Ryan Johansson, when he sat Scott Hartnell, the message was sent that if you're not good enough, you're not going to play. If it's not working out, you're not going to be here, whatever the case. And that has changed the culture. Now, Jarmo Kekalainen has drafted some really good players to give Torts to work with here. That's part of it, too. Don't get me wrong. If Todd Richards had Zach Werenski playing on his blue line, he'd look more like a genius, okay? Because that's what those types of players do for you. But for John Tortorella, it's been changing the mindset, changing the culture. You know, I don't get questions from you guys anymore about what song do they play after they win? What song is blasting in the dressing room? None. Zero. The way it should be. Because winning that one game is nice, but it's all part of a big picture. Yesterday, no song. Same as every other day. Go to work, do your job, come home. He has instilled that in this team. He has been more of a psychological coach than he has been an X's and O's coach, I think. Because the X's and O's are almost the same for every team. But that edge that you get from having a guy like John Tortorella, a guy that's not afraid to get in your face and tell you you're not good enough, whether you like it or not, because it's going to make you better. Whenever he approaches a player, he's doing it to make them better. And they have gotten better as individuals, and that has made them much better as a team. All right, last one. My info. That's who's sending this to me. My info. My info or your info? No, my info. Anyway, what's the realistic outlook on Bobrovsky in the Hart-Vezina race and Werenski in the Calder Trophy race? Again, I think Bobrovsky, you know, the Vezina, I think he's there for. I don't think he's going to get it for the Hart Trophy. You know, they just tend not to do that. They tend not to give, you know, it's almost like, well, the goalie has his award, so we shouldn't give him two of them. We can give it to somebody else. It could happen, I guess, really. I mean, you could make that argument, but Vezina, I think so. Werenski, the problem he has is that Matthews and Laine are scoring all these goals. Now, he has been quietly putting up a lot of points lately. If he finishes strong, I think he does have a chance to pull the upset when it's all said and done. But here's the thing. If he gets it, that'll be great. Look fantastic on his resume. If he doesn't get it, it doesn't mean that he hasn't played well this season. You know, it just means he came along at the wrong time. Aaron Ekblad won the Calder Trophy as a young defenseman first year in the league. And Werenski's numbers have shattered the numbers that Aaron Ekblad put up. But he's come through at the same time as Matthews and Laine. And that's the problem. You know what they say? Timing is everything. And in this case, it could be bad timing for Zach Werenski. Thanks for all your questions today. They are much appreciated. 11 games remaining in the regular season before the playoffs begin. Who will the Blue Jackets play when the playoffs start? Who knows? Will they be able to catch the Washington Capitals? Will they stave off the Pittsburgh Penguins? Tune in next time. Yeah, that's what it's going to be like for the next 2 weeks. So enjoy it. Just revel in it, because the Blue Jackets are in, and you know that the calendar is going past April the 9th and going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bob McElligott saying so long.